Well, good day to you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our study today. We're going to go back into another study, the study number 20 in the ABCs, and we're going to talk about the letter T. Now, what could be for the letter T in the scriptures that we could study? I think I told you last time it's going to be tithing and stewardship. Tithing and stewardship. And this is one of those subjects in the Bible, but it is doctrine. It's a subject in the Bible that is kind of like one that has to do with the letter O, and that's obedience. People just cringe when they hear that for some reason. But you're going to find out in your walk, if you don't already know, and you probably do, some of you are mature in the Lord, and some of you are learning enough that you've far enough along in the Lord that you know that this is a critical part of your walk with the Lord, and has nothing to do with money and all of that. Even though monetary money is in, literal money is involved with it, that's not what tithing is all about, and stewardship is all about. There is a major truth behind tithing and stewardship that has to do with your walk with the Lord that is very important. So we're going to get into that. Last study that we did was the letter S on separation. I hope that you've been back over that study and just kind of scoured over it, you know, and looked at it. And hope you're going over all these scriptures that we have been talking about. Sorry about that. I had to take a pause. I reached down, pulled a gear shift on my chair, and I went all the way to ground. You gotta know which one you're pulling before you pull it. But I got it all fixed back up, and I think I'm ready now. But tithing and stewardship. Now, well, let's just go into it. I mean, tithing and stewardship is something that a lot of people cringe at because think that the Lord's just out to get into your billfold, and you know all things are from the Lord to begin with, and we got some principles that we need to learn before we go into tithing and stewardship, and find out just exactly what the Lord's talking about when He's talking about this matter. So if you'll join me, and we'll just get right into this study, and we'll find out what the Bible says about tithing and stewardship. There's a lot of different matter of fact, there's some beliefs out there that tithing and stewardship, especially this get rich quick Christianity is out there now, I believe God can give you an abundance of money, but I do not believe that God's going to give you a whole bunch of money that is going to cause you to turn away from Him. The only way God's going to give anybody a whole bunch of money is for one or two reasons. Either because He knows that they can handle it and they'll glorify Him with it, or that they cannot handle it and they're disobedient anyway, and He give it to them to destroy themselves. Yeah. But the Lord doesn't do things to help us to move away from Him. And He doesn't do anything that with us or toward us that's going to make us to where we can't glorify Him. Because we should glorify Him and honor Him. And when it comes to tithing and stewardship, you'll see that. So this lesson goes right to the heart of your relationship with God. And many Christians are found out here because their lives are motivated by self rather than the Spirit of God. Now, salvation is a free gift from God. Eternal security is a sure promise from the Lord. In other words, we do nothing to get it and remain saved. We do nothing to get saved or remain saved. We're born again. That's locked in. The Lord has saved you. You cannot get out of the family of God, no matter what anybody says. The Bible says it's eternal life. Everlasting life. Now, why would the Lord say that if it was temporal or it could be taken from you? If the Lord told you He gave you eternal life and then you went to hell, no matter what way you went to hell, He'd be a liar. And the Lord is not a liar. It's impossible for Him to lie. The one thing that the Lord is not, will not violate is His word. not even to keep you out of hell. But that's not the way our Lord is, and that's not the way he operates. But just like we were saying, once you're in... sorry about that. Listen, when we're born again, we're adopted into the family of God. We are his children, and he's our heavenly father. In any family, though, now this is leading into tithing and stewardship. Just remember what we're talking about. Since you've been born again, you've been birthed into the new birth. You've been birthed into the family of God, the body of Christ, the church. Okay? And since then, you've been put into the family. In any family, the children have responsibilities. And in this study, you're going to learn about your own responsibilities as a member of God's family. You say responsibilities? Yes. You're in God's family now. And you're not just there for no reason. God is a God of purpose. God is a meaningful Lord. He has meaning. And the Lord loves his children. And he loves his family. And you're not just... it ain't like down here. Down here, you can be in a family, especially these days, children can be in a family, and it's meaningless. Might have a father, but that's meaningless. Might have a mother, it's meaningless. Might have brothers and sisters, but it's meaningless. You see, that's not the way it is in God's family. And the devil does everything he can to keep God's family away from each other. He sure does. And does everything he can to make people go against one another in the family. And the scriptures speak about that. And just all sorts of things. But once you're in God's family, the body of Christ, you are there to stay. Now, there's no such thing as getting out of God's family. God is a much better father than people give him credit for. And the longer you live in the body, and the longer you serve the Lord, the more you're going to find out just how much God is your father and how much he loves you with a father's affection. He does. Now, to some of you, that's probably just what you need to hear. And to others, it might be frightening a little bit. Either way, this lesson is going to show you some of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and your Father, and what your Father expects out of you now that you need to be concerned about. Okay? So let's talk about our first subject concern, or first area of tithing and stewardship here, and let's just go right into it. We're going to talk about some principles of stewardship. Now, before we go any farther into the lesson, it's absolutely vital that you see and understand these principles. And all through this study, we're going to recap these principles, because these are some things that we need to put right at the top of our study of tithing and stewardship, and leave them right at the top. No matter what we study in the scripture, these are the main principles. Okay, so the first principle we need to learn is that everything belongs to God. Did you get that? Everything belongs to God. It doesn't matter what you have at your house, whether you're a poor person, whether you are filthy, say rich, you have an abundance, whether your barns are full or whether your barns are empty and you depend daily and hourly on the Lord. Everything that is in your possession, that's all it is. It's a possession. The Bible doesn't say that you own anything. The Bible says you possess things. Our inheritance is in heaven, that fadeth not away, and that's eternal in the heavens waiting for you. But down here, the Bible doesn't tell you you own anything. The Bible tells you that God owns everything. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything is God's. Now, that's one important principle studying tithing and stewardship that if you have on the top of your list in your mind that pops up the first thing, whenever you're thinking of tithing and stewardship, you think everything's the Lord's. Well, that puts everything in its an order for you about how you're supposed to think about this matter of tithing and stewardship. Everything belongs to God. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." So there you go, Bilderbergers. There you go, all you gold robbers, all you filthy rich men that have billions and billions and billions of dollars and all that gold fortune that you got hidden away and think it's going to keep you from, keep your breath in your lungs. It ain't going to happen. One day they're going to put you to bed with a shovel. Then what's going to happen to your gold? Somebody else is going to get it, just like the Bible says. But the Lord says that the earth is His, and the fullness thereof. Everything in the earth is His. It said the world, in case you didn't understand earth, He said the world. When the Bible talks about earth, it's talking about the dirt part of earth. He divided the seas and the earth, but then He talks about the world and they that dwell therein. Then it says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine." In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, God tells us in the Word, in His Word, that everything's His. The first principle we need to learn about tithing and stewardship that we need to remember when we start talking about anything having to do with tithing and stewardship is that everything belongs to God. And if you'll think of it that way, you won't covet the things that you have, and you won't mind losing things, and you won't mind getting things, and you won't covet as much as you do. And I ain't saying that you covet. I'm saying, well, we all covet, don't we? Now, this is one of the most covetous countries on the planet. And if you don't think so, just spend a day. Write on your forearm, get a big Sharpie and write covet on your arm where you can't miss it, that you have to see it at least 100 times during the day. And then when you look down and you see it, look around you right at that moment and see if you can find something that'll tempt you to covet. I bet you'll hit 100 out of 100. This is the most covetous era. Well, in my lifetime, whenever I was growing up, when I was a young boy, there wasn't as much covetousness in America as there is now. That's what I'm saying, that it's gotten so bad and worse. And if you told the truth, you'd have to say so too. I don't know how old you are, but the years that you've lived, hadn't it changed? Has it got better or has it got worse? Everything belongs to God. If everybody had the opinion that everything belongs to God, and they believed that because the Scripture said so, you wouldn't see people walking around all day long looking for something that they need and have no idea what they're looking for. People are out, they go shopping. This, as a matter of fact, I think Black Friday? Black Friday started, used to be right before Christmas, and now it's 2 months prior to Christmas. That's covetous right there, ain't it? But Black Friday, that ought to put your flags flying black, anything black. But Black Friday, that's all about coveting. You need this, come and get it, it's $15 off. You smash the windows out when the doors open and 5,000 people rush the door and trample 10 people to death going in to get a sale of something that they absolutely don't need. You think people are rushing in those stores and waiting and camping out all night long so they can get somebody else a present because them people are so important to them? Do you really think that? And people, that's covetousness. You want to beat somebody else to a sale just because it's there. Has nothing to do with buying somebody else something as a gift. You're not going to trample somebody to death to go get something because somebody's so important you want to get them a gift. Hogwash. It's covetousness. But if everybody had the mind that everything belongs to God and really believed that, hey, them stores would be empty. People would go in to buy things, but they wouldn't go in to buy things thinking that this is going to be mine, 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 mine. They'd think everything belongs to God. And it would tend to make people think, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to possess this, for allowing me to have this. It changes everything. It's a good principle to have. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now there we've read in the Psalm and Haggai and Exodus, now either God's telling us the truth or he's fibbing to us. And God doesn't lie and we don't believe that. The Bible's told us three times right there that everything belongs to God. So the first principle that we want to learn is that everything belongs to God. Principle number two, that's not all. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1 through 6, the Bible said, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, here's Joseph. We know that he is a righteous man and loved by God, and he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And here we find another principle, principle number two, that stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. Stewardship is not how you buy bonds and guarantees and warranties on your money and yours and yours and yours and your stuff. Stewardship is managing the affairs of another. It ain't like the world is today where people are walking around, mine, 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 mine. Stewardship is being in charge of somebody else's stuff. Stewardship has nothing to do with your stuff. Now, well, I take that back. Stewardship does have to do with your stuff and how well you keep your things that the Lord has given you. But stewardship, as far as our study goes, is the management of the affairs of another. Because remember our first principle? God owns everything. So even if you possess it, you're still a steward over it because it's God's. Now that's what the Bible says. The Bible just told us that Joseph was a slave and to the Ishmaelites and had been sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites and was a slave. He was a product. He was something for them to make money off of. And he went down to Egypt and Potiphar bought him. Took him to the house, and he was a steward to Potiphar. But the Lord was with him, and the Bible tells us that Potiphar figured out that this man loved the Lord, and the Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph's stewardship of handling his stuff. And he said it got so good that the only thing he knew he had, he trusted Joseph so much as a steward of his stuff, his affairs. He trusted Joseph so much that he didn't know anything that he had except the bread he ate. Now that's a good way to live. Now so that this was an Egyptian. Now he's a picture of Egypt, and Egypt is the world. But Joseph was such a good steward to him that even a worldly man didn't even have to worry about anything that he had or owned or possessed, excuse me. Didn't worry about it because he, by proxy, was trusting in the Lord because he knew the Lord was blessing him because of Joseph and Joseph's stewardship, that he was a steward of this man's and managing the affairs of Potiphar, but he was doing it so well, and the reason he was doing it is because he loved the Lord. Stewardship is not only that the first principle is everything belongs to God. The second principle that we need to know concerning tithing and stewardship is that stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. The Bible says in, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14 and 15, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." To whom the Lord entrusts his wealth. The Bible says that that stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. The Lord gives us responsibilities and stewardship of serving him and taking care of his business according to our several abilities. Stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. So when it comes to stewardship in the scriptures, it's not necessarily just talking about you taking care of the things that God has given you to possess, your house and your car and your bank account and all the stuff that you blah-bitty, 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 blah, your health and all that stuff. Not necessarily taking care of your own, but taking care of somebody else's. And mostly what we're talking about here is the Lord's business, because you are a Christian, you're in the family of God, remember? And you have responsibilities. You are a steward of somebody else's business now. And that's the Lord, your Heavenly Father. So, stewardship, everything belongs to God. Principle number 2 is stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. And that's not all. We're going to move on. Principle number 3. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." When we stand before the Lord, and there are several judgments in the Scripture, and the judgment that the Christian or the body of Christ needs to be concerned about is the judgment of Jesus Christ and of our works, of us being in the body, the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to come down here and get us out of here before the tribulation begins. Nobody knows the exact time, but the Lord says he's coming down. "Behold, I show you a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." It's going to happen. That's the next thing that's coming. The Lord is coming. Okay? And that's the second coming is a different 7 years later, but that's the day of the Lord. That's when the Lord comes back with his army and us, And he comes down here to show everybody, all the mockers and all the God haters and everybody else that's been treating Israel that way for so long and had been blaspheming him. He comes down here to show them who he really is. And he shows them who's boss. And we'll be glad of that. Because then we get to live in a world that Jesus rules. So instead of these crazy elections with all this idiotic stuff of men supposed to be the example to the people of ethics, and I don't get into this religious stuff or get into this political stuff, but men that are supposed to be an example of integrity and morals and everything else are standing up there almost cussing each other out in front of the whole country. Who wants either of them, huh? You want somebody that's got some integrity and is a person. But anyway, principle number three. Every Christian is a steward. Not only when it comes to tithing and stewardship, everything belongs to God. Stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. But every Christian is a steward. You're not in the family of God to sit around and twiddle your thumbs and be lazy. The Lord has a purpose for you. He has something for you to do. He has a talent for you to take care of. He has something that He has given you. Every Christian has a talent, some more than others, but that's okay. I mean, I'll take one talent from the Lord to do for Him and do it with joy, right? But every Christian is a steward. God's not left any of you out. You're not purposeless. The Lord has a reason for you. And in the family, you are important to the Lord. And the Lord has a reason for you and wants you to do it for Him. Every Christian is a steward. We read there in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, what are you going to give account of if you ain't got anything to be a steward over? The Lord's going to give you responsibilities as a steward and a management and the management of His affairs, whatever it might be. And then you're going to be judged about how you took care of it in the body. God's business. Ever since you got saved, when you become born again and was born into the family of God, everything changed and you are living for a completely different reason now. You're not living for this world and the things of this world and the subjects and the headlines and all that kind of garbage of the world. The world passeth away and the fashion thereof. All of it's going to burn. The Lord's going to burn it. The important thing for the bride of Christ, that's you, if you're born again, is for you to be looking above and be about the Lord's business, managing His affairs down here until He gets us out of this body and gives us a new body and we're with Him for eternity. We have everything to look forward to, don't we? But while we're in the body, our business, now we're talking about tithing and stewardship. Everything belongs to God. We're to have that principle when it comes to tithing and stewardship. Number two, stewardship's the management of the affairs of another. We are to understand that everything in this world and the possessions of this world are vanity. If God gives you things to manage and He gives you $1 million, it's God's money, and He give it to you to manage for Him, to take care of some business for Him. And the Bible talks about people that's got a lot of money. God gives people a lot of money, but it's nothing like what the world thinks. The world thinks that having a lot of money makes you a better person. Now, do you really believe that? Really, really? Than having a lot of money. Everybody I've ever talked to that won the lottery, and I've known one personally. Matter of fact, I possess a truck out there that that I made a deal with when I first come down here from a ministry up north. I came down here and I needed something to drive. And the Lord gave me this from this fella that had just won the lottery. 1 year later, all that money was gone, spent, gone, had nothing to show for it. And you hear that story over and over and over and over again. You mean having, if I had $1 million, I could make that last my whole life. Most people can't go a year with it. You say, well, I could. Maybe you could. But it'd be a year and a month. Money is not it. If the Lord gives you a bunch of money, it's not for your affairs. It's for the Lord's affairs, to take care of His business. Maybe helping out a ministry. Maybe financing something that the Lord wants financed. But it's the bottom line is His business. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. It's for spiritual things. And if the Lord doesn't give you and you live a poor life, and when I say poor, not as in just in possessions, but not in joy and spirit. Because the Lord says that Paul said that as having nothing yet being rich. Remember that? Just because you don't possess a lot of things does not mean you don't have joy and that you're not looking forward to things and have hope. We're rich in the Lord. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. There's many things from the Lord that are blessings that have nothing to do with money. Right? Every Christian is a steward, the Bible says. And principle number four is, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Did you get that? It's required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's one thing that's missing on this planet right now is faithfulness. The church has fallen away. They're having their rock bands up on the stage and worshiping this happy, lovey-dovey Christ that wears girls flop do these plays up there in their leotards and their tight things and do their dancing up in front of the whole church and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. Christianity has gone the way of Cain. It's after the world, and it's making concessions with the world. And that's what the Lord said would happen, a great falling away. And the big apostasy in the world now is the church. The body of Christ is falling away from what it was supposed to be doing and faithfulness. Don't let that be you. And because you're here studying with us, and not that we're anything special, but we are special to the Lord. And the Lord thinks very highly of somebody that honors His Word and sacrifices and wants to study His Word and does it on purpose. You better believe it. It's required of stewards that they be found faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you owned a big old place to where you had a lot of work to be done and operating and needed some stewards, what kind of stewards would you want to get your business done and for other people? What kind of person would you want to give your affairs to manage? Faithful people. People that you can depend on, that you can trust. That people that won't change and go left and go right and get in the ditch on the left and fall in the ditch on the right. But they're straight. They're walking a straight path. They're staying the same. They're faithful. They know what you need done, and they get it done, and you have no worries with these stewards because they're taking care of your business. Tithing and stewardship. A lot more to it than just money, ain't there? So these are the four principles that we was talking about. What was the first one? Go ahead and say it. Say it with me. Principle number one, everything belongs to God. You need to memorize that. Principle number two, stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. Has absolutely nothing to do with tying your entire life up with your business and what you think's important down here on this earth. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Said, set your affections on things above. And we're to be after the Lord's business. Stewardship's the management of the affairs of another. And your Lord has something for you to do. You should ask Him, what is it, Lord? What do you want me to do for you? Whatever it is. And principle number three, you remember what it was? Everything, every Christian is a steward. Every Christian. You're not left out. The Lord has something for you to do for Him. And you should be about His business. And if you don't know what it is, start asking Him. That would probably impress the Lord that you're asking Him, Lord, what would you have me do for you? And in the meantime, do anything that you can find to do. In the church, you're doing part of it right now. In the meantime, until the Lord calls you and shows you exactly what He wants you to do for Him and carry out for Him and manage for Him, you're studying. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The Bible says, give thyself to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. In other words, find out what God's Word says and rightly divide it, not wrongly divide it. Figure out what God's Word says, not all the trillions of different opinions and blasphemous things that people come up with about what God is about, that He's not. There's more garbage on this earth now about who God is and what God is and what God thinks and everything else, and everybody's got a different God. But it ain't the God of the Bible. It ain't the one and true living God that has a son named Jesus Christ. And what was the fourth one? Do you remember? Principle number four. Say it with me. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And that's the way we want to be anyway, isn't it? I don't want to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ and Him questioning me in front of everybody. I hope we go through our judgment privately. But I'm not sure if we will or not. But I hope the Lord, when He calls us to judge us, He judges us privately. But that's not the way any courtrooms are. But we're not going to a criminal courtroom. We're in the family. We're going to be rewarded. That the Lord would reward us for anything, right? What a wonderful, kind Lord we have. Stewardship's often misunderstood, and many think it relates only to money, and it doesn't. Money's only part of God's plan for stewardship. If all the paper money in the world was destroyed and burnt, and somebody come up and said, gravel is the monetary form of trade all over the world now. You couldn't find a rock from here to... There'd be so many rock and gravel yards and big old walls around it and shotguns and cannons. People start coveting rocks. You see that? Money is part of God's plan for stewardship only because that's the form of trade now and the way to get some things done. But God is able to speak and get things done. God is not limited to having money, and neither is His people. You can live on almost nothing, whether you believe it or not. If you trust the Lord and you trust Him to feed you, to clothe you, and to give you what you need, you don't need money. We use money, but you don't need it. And whatever you do necessarily need to have as far as money is concerned, the Lord will give that to you too, if you trust Him. Stewardship is misunderstood. Money's not the only thing having to do with that. And it's important enough to be considered in some detail later, but it's only part of God's overall plan for you now. Now, before looking at some other areas or areas requiring our stewardship, well, you ain't got these papers. Remember I told you that I have these papers here and that you can write on them and fill in the blanks, and they go right on down our study as we're learning and as we're studying. You're welcome to them if you want to write me, and I'll send them to you. But we went over. Let's do these principles one more time. Ready? Number one, everything belongs to God. Number two, stewardship's the management of the affairs of another. Number three, every Christian is a steward. And number four, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. Every good thing we have is God's. And it comes from God. And it's called what? It's called a gift of God. Listen to this in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that neat? I would rather have something that comes from God, and when you get far enough along in your walk with the Lord, you would rather have something that comes from God than you would from this world. We're going to stop right there for this recording, and we're going to pick up on the next one because we're going to change gears and talk about the stewardship of our time. We're going to talk about some stewardship some more, but we're going to talk about different areas of our stewardship. For instance, the stewardship of our time and the stewardship of our talents, and we'll work right on into the money and stuff like that and see what the Bible says. Not what Pastor such and such says, unless he's scriptural, and not what this fellow over here says, and not what Mr. what's his name says, that he'll heal your crippled son for so much money. Just write out your gift and be sure to put your credit card number on it and sign it on the back. And the gifts start about $1,000 all the way up to $10,000, by the way. None of that stuff. Stewardship of your testimony. You say there's stewardship in our testimony? Yes. Stewardship of our treasure. The stewardship of our treasure. There, we'll be getting into some of that. Okay? And then we'll go on down some more. Let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? The first one we talked about was Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 and 15. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And then the last one that we talked about was James chapter 1, verse 17. All right. Well, thank you so much for studying the Lord's Word. And remind yourself of those principles and try to get those truths into your mind concerning what the Bible says about stewardship. And we're studying that, about the principles. Because that changes everything around. I mean, if everything is the Lord's, that changes the whole matter of thinking when it comes to money and when it comes to serving and when it comes to service, when it comes to stewardship, and when it comes to your time, when it comes to your talents, when it comes to your treasures. It changes everything if you have the first principle in you that everything belongs to God. Well, does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. So it's okay with the Lord for us to go on that principle, because the Bible teaches us that. The stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. Is that scriptural? Yes, it is. Is every steward a Christian? Yes. You're going to give account of something. And it's sure not going to be of anything in this world. The Lord doesn't care what goes on down here in this world. He cares about you, and He cares about spiritual things, and care about His business. And the last one is required of stewards, that they be found faithful. So we have to be finding out what it is that we need to be faithful towards. Right? Yeah. So that's what we'll do, and that's what we're doing. And I thank you, and I appreciate you and respect you, that you would honor the Lord enough that you would sacrifice your time on purpose to sit down and study His Word. And the Lord says that those that honor Him, He will honor in return, and He does. So you have a wonderful day, and I wish you a good day. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I'm glad we're doing this, aren't you? And everything we learned today was from the Bible, from God's Word. And that's what makes the difference. The Lord bless you. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.